Meeting to order, the Oceana Community Service Districts. It's Wednesday, August 8th, 6:30 p.m. Carol Ann, can I get a roll call vote?
President Guerrero.
Present.
Vice President Lucy.
Present.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Director Hurdle.
Here.
Director White.
Here.
Everyone is present. Moving on to item number three, the flag salute. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Has passed in which to submit arguments. The concern I have tonight is that your community brought that issue to you and that you have not spoken up and how you're going to address it. I have some ideas of my own that I would love to see an agendized discussion with your board, with the community, to talk about what to do since that deadline has passed and how to approach the measure, whether to support or oppose, and the reasons why. I just wanted to bring that to your attention tonight, and I did submit a letter to your board tonight about some other concerns I have about the agenda, and I have a feeling that some of that will be addressed in the next item in the consent calendar.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. I wanted to speak to you this evening regarding the overall agenda content. And the question that I think is paramount in all of your considerations is, are you advancing the public interest? And it appears to me that virtually your entire public hearing and business item calendar consists of lawyer-intensive busy work. And I think this is not productive. You've got policies and procedures. You've got bylaw considerations. Most of them tend to be cleanup versus substantive. It's again, a legal-intensive operation and really exercise. The kinds of things I would suggest you get on your agenda are, in my view, substantive. And recognizing that this district is fundamentally a water company, there are a handful of really important water issues I think you need to be talking about, both in closed session and open session. They range from the status of the NCMA conversation and the overall Santa Maria Valley groundwater litigation, the need for the continued water rate increase, the five-year plan. I think there's a big question about, is it needed now? There's the ballot measure that you heard about, B-12. What's your board's position? What do you intend to do? What's your advice for the voters? The whole idea of economic vitality, it's been discussed a lot lately, but at the end of the day, what is there to show for it? I haven't heard about a new business being announced in Oceano, as you may have heard in other city councils and what have you. The over-the-road fees. I don't think there was any discussion before this board about the item that was considered yesterday at the Board of Supervisors, or if you had it, it was very limited. Yesterday, this whole idea of collecting some of the over-the-road fees, that's just not reality. And as your general manager learned yesterday, that source, revenue source is really not existing at this time. There's the whole idea of capital improvement program, and we haven't seen a real connection between the financing for the needed capital improvements that you have for your water system primarily. Again, if these were agendized, I think they would be productive, and I think you'd be serving your residents and your ratepayers in a much more efficient fashion. So again, I don't know really who all sets the agenda, but please, let's try to get away from the procedural, mundane, unnecessary things and really start agendizing some substantive items. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Is there any other public comment? Ms. Henson?
I'm sorry, I'm late. I just filled this out.
You can come on up, Carol.
Thank you.
It's okay. Thank you, Carol. Good evening.
Carol Hansen. I apologize for being late. I just rushed in. I'm out of breath, so let me catch my breath a minute. I don't know where we are right now in public comments, so I don't know what's going on. I just wanted to address, I haven't looked at the agenda, but I had someone call me and tell me that tonight you guys would be voting on, I'm not supposed to talk about what's on the agenda.
I don't know what you're, where you're going to go. Go ahead, Carol.
I just wanted to say that I feel that, you know, what's made our country strong is that we're a land of law and order. And I think through the generation is probably maybe appropriate for Santa Monica, that we have very, very small citizenry, and I don't think that the amount of people that live in Oceano can equate to the amount of people that are in Santa Maria. And when they have hot button issues, they have hundreds of people that show up at those meetings. And so they would definitely have to designate, you know, a certain time, and it would make sense in that instance. But I do feel that sometimes, in this instance, I do not feel that we have enough people that come to these meetings to try to suppress public comment to get it down. I understand that it does take time to hear public comment, and especially on issues that people don't maybe want to hear about. However, without public comment, we wouldn't have the country that we have, and we wouldn't have people weighing things and looking at different points of view, and that is what public comment is about, to hear the people here. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Henson. Is there any other public comment this evening? Moving on to item number 5, the consent agenda. 5A is the agenda review. I actually wanted to add an extra public comment on 8A. I'll add that after the staff report.
You wanted it after?
The staff report on 8A.
Okay.
Is there any other discussion on agenda review? Or the consent agenda, I should say. And there's three things. There's the agenda review, review and approval of minutes, June 15th and July 25th, and cash disbursements. Mary or Karen? Yeah, it's just the consent agenda. This would be approved as a whole, unless somebody moved to move something out.
No, the Friday report is so thorough that it actually makes me feel very confident that I've read everything. So, I move that we accept the consent agenda.
All right. I have a motion from Director Lucy. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All right, I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None. Motion carries 5-0. Moving on to item number 6, reports.
Your council has not adopted the 6-minute rule or any portion of the meeting procedures that you're contemplating adopting later tonight. And it is customary to take public comment on the consent calendar. You haven't done that. I know you saw people lining up to speak to the consent calendar, and I think it would be prudent to open that item before your board does vote on the consent calendar, including the cash disbursements, which is something I would like to speak to.
We've already voted on those.
And you can rescind that and take public comment and do it again if you like.
Thank you for your comments, Ms. Tacker. Moving on to item number 6A, the Sheriff South Station Commander is not here, so we'll move on to 6B, Five Cities Fire Authority, Chief Aranez.
Thank you, Honorable Board Members. Joel Aranez, Five Cities Fire Authority. For the month of July, well, from July 12th through August 8th, we responded to 53 incidents within the OCSD. There was one fire call. It was an explosion on Front Street from a propane or propane bottle left on the outside porch area. It did cause a small fire, but nothing of significance. 42 emergency medical aid calls, 2 public assists, 8 canceled en route. The estimated loss from that fire was about $100, so it was minimal. Asked that the staff from the county said that put forward the proposal if a non-county agency were to put in for a money for those in lieu fees, they would go through County Parks Commission. At the end of the session, what was decided on is the split would go from 50-50 to 40-60, 60% going to the non-county agencies, and thanks to General Manager Gieslin for getting that 60% for us. So that's about $96,000 a year for non-county agencies. And for any public safety agency, instead of going through County Parks Commission, we would go through County Fire. So that will be my next stop, will be discussions with Chief Lewin and trying to secure a revenue source for the authority for response onto the dunes. And I will keep you apprised of how we come forward with that. The next thing was we had a kickoff meeting with NBS, our consulting firm that the authority is working with, to see if we want to move forward with a benefit assessment, a special tax, a parcel tax, a general sales tax, or nothing at all. And so we had our kickoff meeting with them. There's a great deal of work to be done. We have to analyze budget data. We have to analyze response data, and then we'll look at what is a general benefit, what is a special benefit, and then which is the best way to proceed should we decide to proceed at all. So our next step there is to gather the data they're looking for, take a look at it, analyze it, and see where that leads us. And again, we didn't set another meeting date, but I'm sure we will in the very near future, and we'll see where that is going to take us. So any questions that you may have, I'll be happy to answer them for you.
Go ahead, Director White.
Yes, in this busy tourist season, of those 42 medical calls, how many of them were on the beach?
This is just in OCSD. On the dunes, we respond in that 3-week period about seven times exactly.
Just 7 times?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We responded onto the dunes in 2011. I believe it was 162 incidents out there.
I know that your budget is extremely stretched, and I really have to applaud you for your organizational structure. It really is a very sound project that you're building, the collaborations amongst the different fire departments, the JPA in itself. Has state parks and the five cities considered maybe getting an appointment with the governor's office? Because when I talk to people about who handles anything out on the dunes, they're not aware that it falls on your shoulders, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, a car wreck or somebody being hurt, and that we have over 400,000 people that are, you know, at, you know, throughout the year that are coming to this beach area. It's not like another beach. It's very, very different, you know. And I know your budget is really, really tight, but I think it would be of great benefit if the governor's office just knew the difference between Oceano and other state parks and the amount of time and effort that your department has to put into maintaining a service for statewide. That's what it is. It's a statewide park service. And I just think that you have you have something to work with that makes you very unique than other state park areas and stuff, because your response is just tremendous. What you, the extra added burden that you have to take on to accommodate all the tourists in the area, and we are very, very busy.
Yeah, that's a strategy that we can follow. Certainly, state parks has come into some money. What they're going to do with that money, your guess is as good as mine. But certainly, it wouldn't hurt maybe a letter to the governor saying this is what we need to do, and the specialized equipment that it takes to get onto the dunes. I agree with you. I don't think the people out there realize who renders care. They just want to see somebody there as quickly as possible. And because of our location here with this station, we are the closest responding point. So. To the people, I don't think they really care who shows up, just as long as somebody shows up and shows up very quick. You're right. I'm sorry. I was going to mention that. There was a multi-casualty bus extrication event or training event that took place on Saturday morning. The multi-casualty incident took place in the morning hours. I believe it started about 9 o'clock and went to about noon, and then from 1 o'clock on, they did the extrication of the bus and different evolutions of cutting and spreading and shoring of the bus and that sort of thing. So it was a valuable training exercise to us. We joined with the county EMS, it was a very successful operation. Thank you for reminding me.
Thank you, Chief. Do you guys have any questions for Chief Adams?
Yes. Chief, have you talked to Dina Bellman or Brent Marshall, because they put together a very big production as far as representation of the state park and what they do and how they do it and people that are involved in stuff. There may be something within that stuff they've got that might be usable for what you may want to do as far as sending a video or something like that, because I know they spent a lot of time and energy on it.
And, okay.
It might be good to talk to Dina, because I think she was pretty much doing all that.
I have met with Brent Marshall,
okay.
but not
okay.
Dina.
Yeah, just give her a call and
use
ask her if there's something like that. Or
your mic, Lori.
It is on, isn't it?
I don't think it's picking
up. Closer.
When we see you come out.
This thing hates me. anyway, that might be a good place to start before you have to go out and contemplate spending a bunch of money and stuff.
Can I give a quick update to that real quick?
Sure. Is your mic on?
I think it's on.
Does it look on?
You're on.
It's on. Yeah.
Okay. Yesterday, what Chief didn't tell you was that prior to that meeting, we had five individual sit-downs with all five county supervisors and the analyst and county administration. And they clearly understood our problem, and we worked out a way that we supported it. And with all the changes, with the additional money showing up at the state that nobody knew about or certain people knew about, that changed the dynamic of the whole thing. So I don't know, Director Angela was at the meeting yesterday, but Vicki Jansen, who's Katja Sajjan, who's our assembly legislative aide, was there, and she already offered to help us get us in contact with the right people. I've already got calls into Dina Bellman and Andy Zelke. We are moving forward, and we are going to bring in some money somehow to support Five Cities Fire And I still believe we have a great argument, and none of the supervisors didn't take the point that we didn't have a good argument to get some of those fees. It's just the amount that the county has, even if we got $4,000 or $5,000, how much would that really do? And we also worked in conjunction with the Roy Grande and Grover Beach as well. The other thing about this is that the Oceana public needs to realize that this truck that we're trying to replace, Oceana paid for a third of it when it was put in service. Yeah. And people need to remember that Oceana was originally a fire district with a volunteer fire department that took care of a lot of things. And what's happened is that even in tight economy, general service is expected service. And so we need to continue to apply that services. And you as a board, me as a general manager, because we're an active participant in the JPA, have a fiduciary responsibility to go out and maintain that for our public. And we will somehow, some way, come up with that money, whether I have to go out for a special grant and then give us more money to go towards the JPA. So it is being addressed. It is being worked. We're working at it every level that we possibly can. And that's the current updated status of that.
Excellent. Chief, thank you for the excellent job you guys are doing.
I had one quick question.
Yes.
Did you invite the media to that Saturday practice drill?
Yes, they were there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Well, thanks for working on that, because I think people, we still provide fire services. We just do it collaboratively, you know, and so the fire department is still here.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to item number 6C, OCSD Operations, General Manager Tom Gieselin.
I'd like to respond to something that Ms. Henson said at the microphone before I get into my Friday report, if that's okay. And what I'd like you to know, I've been watching you for a year, and you've done a heck of a job. I have all other Oceana residents come through. Dave Sanchez isn't here tonight. He's got an issue. We're working it together. The difference between the Oceana community is the Oceana community comes forward with the problems and they give us a chance to work on it. The outsiders that consider themselves activists don't come forward and say, hey, you got a problem. What they do is they take it to Cal Coast News or they take it on Dave Coggleton's show without giving us any heads up whatsoever. And so we find out about the problem either in... So anyways, the people of Oceano do come to us. We do work the problems. The people outside of Oceano, it's one ambush after another. Yesterday in the Board of Supervisors, during public comment, we were ambushed again, me personally. None of the stuff was true. He mentioned two lawsuits that don't exist. But yet, it was us. Because there haven't been lawsuits filed. Yes, there's paperwork going back and forth, but it's a continual barrage of incorrect data. It's a continual barrage of falsehoods and lies, and it's reaching a point where either they need to see what they're doing and they need to make a correction, or we need to continue what we're doing to correct it so we can conduct the business of this district. So I applaud this board as your general manager for taking a stance that you're taking, because we do have the people of Oceano at heart, and I have never turned anybody away from my office, and I will work with anybody to solve problems. But you have to know what the problems are first. And when I pick it up in a questionable news source, or somebody calls in and says, hey, I saw this, is this true, and I give them the facts, and then all of a sudden they say, well, that doesn't make any sense. And I say, well, welcome to my world. That being said, we have been spending a significant amount of time on compliance issues. As I've reported before, we've got some sewer distribution issues that we've been working on, and we're rapidly in repair mode. Director Guerrero talked about his fun and games at the lift station, and 75% of those problems were fixed as of 5:30 tonight, and it's an ongoing thing. If you've driven by the water yard lately, you'll notice that it's reaching a point of almost impeccable standards. There's a whole bunch of updates and repairs that we need to do. There's equipment that we need to purchase, and we're out putting that stuff together right now. Some of them are high-dollar items, which we'll have to advertise in the paper and get three quotes, but we are moving forward along those lines. The staff is being educated to get to other levels, and they are all got scheduled test dates and continuing education, and the money that we've spent on that has been rather fruitful, because they're not only are they coming back with better knowledge themselves, but they're coming back with the new ideas of technology that sometimes just doesn't get put across to us. We're in the process of joining another community buying group so that we will get better pricing on all our equipment and stuff that we have to purchase. And we are moving very, very strongly. Last year was the year of getting the front office fixed. This is the year of getting the back, getting the water yard and everything else going forward. There keeps comments coming up about NCMA. We are a member agency of it. Not unlike some of the other things that we are members of, we may raise an issue or a question, and when it comes to a vote, we're the only one voting a certain way. But we are held by agreements that have been signed long before most of you have been on this board that we have to execute to. And a lot of the stuff that we are pushing forward is getting put in place, and I'm very proud of that fact. The Zone 3 issues and the Zone 1A issues that we're working, people are now calling Oceano and saying, this is what we want to do. Are you in line with it? And those of you that sit on those boards know that. Even though we tease everybody about the RAC, Director Angelo and Director Lucy's influence on the RAC is even noticed now. They've got bylaw changes and everything else. So we as a team, meaning this board, me, the staff, and the community of Oceano, have made great leaps and bounds forward. And the nice thing is, with having the audits turned in and the county having no issue with them, I'm now in position to go for some of that grant money that we talked about going to get so we can update. And I've got appointments set next week where we will get down and dirty with that, and then I will be coming back. So that's my report, and I'm open to any questions.
When do you expect those back, Tom?
Say again?
When do you expect those back?
Which ones?
The audits that you were just talking about.
We're just getting ready to do we've gathered all the data for testing, and we're getting ready to hand that off probably in the next week. So I think they're going to need 35 to 45 days. So I'm saying maybe October.
Okay.
And then the other one we'll try and have done by December.
Thank you. Anybody else have any questions for Tom?
You had mentioned the negotiations with that are coming to a close on the fire union. I mean, labor union. So when that finishes, can you have that agendized so we could talk more about that and what that contract's going to look like?
Yeah, that'll be fine. Our director Hurdle is now the chairman of that board, and
right.
I think it would be fitting for her to give that.
Ooh, yeah. Great.
But no, we can do that, and we'll bring that to the agenda. I don't think you have a problem with that either. We'll give you a complete update.
Great. Thank you.
And one of the thoughts when Chief Arenas was talking, I thought, well, maybe the three entities should get together, the letter that Director Lucy was talking about, and maybe we should each write a letter or something lobbying Sacramento to try to get them to understand our situation, because it seems that the community is going to expect that level of service that we're already providing. So just a thought. Maybe we can talk about that later. But
we're looking at every avenue, the support that we received out there, and we have the commitment from the Board of Supervisors.
And I don't think what the community knows, though, is how often you're meeting with Chief Arenas and how much we're talking about this and what a live discussion this is.
Probably twice a week.
Yeah. So
And then I, you know, because they're right next door, we get feedback all the time, and it's all positive.
Director Angelo, do you have any questions of Tom?
No.
Thelma?
I have none.
Okay. Anything else, Tom?
That's all I have for tonight.
The Board of Directors, moving on to 6D and outside committees. We'll start with A, Director Angelo.
Oh, wait, I do have one.
Backing up. Go ahead.
Last week, or the last meeting, I got a text from some family members that I'm really close to, and I was pretty upset. And I mentioned the Friday report, and that's why there was a skip in the Friday report, because my friend died, and I happened to be there. And I just want to apologize that somebody said I probably should have went home, but once I start something, I want to finish it, and I wasn't anything I could do to bring him back. But he's going to be sorely missed, and I didn't go into the details, but I did leave the link so that you guys could look at his history. And a day hasn't gone by that I haven't thought about him or his family since then. But I apologize if I seemed scattered last time, but I was going through something pretty heavy. So thank you.
Please don't feel the need to apologize for that. And in fact, I was hoping we would close the meeting tonight in memory of.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Director Angelo, item 6A.
I don't have anything.
Okay. Moving down the table, Director Hurdle.
I did attend the meeting with the chief yesterday. I attended the meeting with the chief yesterday with the consultants. It was a very interesting meeting, but what I left fully understanding was that anything worth having is worth working for. And this is going to be a heavy lift, but once it comes together, it will be a wonderful thing for the district, for JPA, and for the residents to have. Our goal, I believe, I'm speaking for you too, Chief, is to come to meet the national requirements and provide the highest level of fire service possible to the community. And I do understand that there are a lot of questions because JPA was just formed a year ago, and it was formed in an effort to consolidate the work, but also to save money. And there are questions that arise, and questioning is a very good thing because this is how we, you know, come to agreements or even to agree to disagree. But there are questions as to why we are looking for more revenue, and the reality is that we are saving money. We have saved money by the consolidation, but this is a new endeavor, and as it grows, we recognize the need and to be proactive and be situated in a put ourselves in a situation where we can take care of what our responsibilities are on our own as an entity.
To the yard, there's four pumps, and these particular pumps are what provide water to the community of Oceano. Some of these are early 1980s pumps. There's three electric pumps and a natural gas pump that's a backup. We removed one of the pumps. It's a 40 horsepower pump, and all the bolts were rusted. We ended up snapping them off, taking them apart. It took us, you know, in theory, what was probably an hour and a half job. It took us about 5 hours, and that was because everything was stuck together from 30 plus years of marine weather basically weighing down on them. And so this pump is off for, it's going to be off for rewinding. And the hope is that it's going to be more efficient once we get it back. And so we all worked together on that. The only thing I'd note, and Tom and I talked about this, is that I think the yard needs to be gone through. It is in beautiful condition as far as being cleaned up. There's ongoing projects for painting, roofs, these sorts of things. We'd like to see some structures over the pumps to help protect them so in the future they last longer. And they're easier to work on so that we don't spend these kind of man hours taking something apart unnecessarily. I'm not saying it's unnecessary, but the issue we ran into is the guys at the yard seem to be short of some tools. And so what I would like and Tom and I have already talked about this, but what I'd like to see is each truck or the yard being fully equipped with everything that they need, American-made lifetime warranty tools, so that they can be ready to go. The specific, a couple specific examples, but one of them was we were using a three-quarter wrench. We needed one for the underside. We couldn't find a wrench. We only had one. And there's just no reason for a simple hand tool like that not to be there. So Tom and I already talked about it, and I think that he was already aware of it because I think the guys came back and said, hey, we needed more stuff. And so that was helpful. If you could be a fly on the wall when Tom and I are talking, what we talk about a lot of times is infrastructure. This is being worked on. It's an ongoing thing. We've got to get our audits done. We've got to get our ducks in order before we can go out and pursue those monies. And so that's what's happening. The infrastructure is it's first priority, but we can't do it first because other things have to come first. With that, I do have two reports on the sanitation district. I did not give one last time. I know, I've forgotten my notes. I attended the sanitation district meeting July 17th, 2012. There wasn't a lot in the general agenda. They were getting rid of some surplus metal. They've got a lot of scrap. Bob Barlogio, what's his title? I can't. He's not the superintendent?
Plant manager.
Bob Barlogio is also doing a similar job that we're doing at the water yard with getting rid of a lot of the scrap and taking care of things. They're doing a lot of in-house repairs and saving the district a lot of money by doing things in-house rather than bidding it out. There was a letter of support for the local groundwater assistance grant application. What it is that the city of Arroyo Grande is applying for a local groundwater assistance grant to for a salt and nutrient management study, which would include the wastewater recycling studies. And so this is something that's been joined in by the city of Pismo Beach. And they were going to send a letter. There was a contract that was designed, there was a contract that was approved for a pretreatment ordinance to have Corollo engineers do the professional services, and they're going to do the drafting of the pretreatment ordinance for the sanitation district. Then, of course, there was closed session. If anybody's been watching
closely,
the hearing for the spill from December of 2010 is set for September 7th. That's here in San Luis Obispo. So obviously that was on.
Can you restate that that date change of the meeting? Yes.
Originally the hearing was set for September 6th, but it was decided that it would be scheduled for September 7th. The information from the state has already been served, and I believe is a matter of public record. September 7th is a Friday. The district's response is due, and I may have the date messed up, but I believe it's due August 16th, which is next Thursday. And so I believe that'll be a matter of public record, too, because all of those documents will be served. And so I was going to ask Tom if for the next, maybe the Friday letter or something, if you could get a copy of that, because I think it's of interest, even though the OCSD is not directly responsible for paying those potential fines that may be coming.
And if you can't be there, write a letter.
I agree. I'll be there, and I would hope that our whole board would be there for that particular item. September 7th. I attended also on August 1st, which was last Wednesday. They bought some tires for the tractor and thing, but the thing that was interesting was there's an electric motor purchase, a 40-horse electric motor purchase from Perry, which was $6,200. The motor that we pulled out from the water yard was a 40-horse motor, and it's going to be about $1,400 was the
estimate.
Actually
came in at $700-some dollars.
Okay. So it's a lot cheaper to rebuild these than buy them new.
Right.
So it was worth our morning of labor. And then, of course, there were some closed session items regarding a couple of the lawsuits that were going on. So I'd encourage anybody that's interested, like I said, to we will get hold and to check our website. Hopefully we'll have it up as quickly as we can and get a hold of it for the district's response to the spill allegations.
So. Okay, great. Thank you.
Director Lucy?
The Zone 3, as you know, we worked really hard to get Oceano included into the organizational structure of the zone. And so usually the annual meet, the bi-monthly meetings are held in Arroyo Grande or Grover Beach, and now they'll be also held in Oceano. So many things happened on the bylaws, and I think it's good. Unfortunately, the first time they were to come here, the meeting has been postponed. So I'll call them when they reschedule to make sure they reschedule where they left off. So it still will be here. So I didn't attend formal meetings, so I spent the time kind of doing what Matt did. It's a lot of hands-on. I had some extra time. I went over to the water yard, and I wholeheartedly agree with you. It's meticulously clean. I have to applaud the gentleman on that. Structurally, we have to pay attention. We have to pay attention to just the little units that cover the engines and all the mechanical stuff they have. My hot tub has better living conditions than our water
yard
does. So, you know, I think that's organizationally we have to pay attention to that. I cannot applaud the JPA enough for your advancement in the last year. I have watched that organization go from a thought, it was a study, it was a thought, and it is a very powerful reality now. And I have two, fortunately, we have two firefighters in our family, and they both are very familiar with this JPA's organizational structure. And they're in Los Angeles County. And one works for the city of Los Angeles, and one works for the county of Los Angeles. So they also have been questioning me a lot about the uniqueness of Oceano. So I cannot request enough that kind of you need to toot your horn and get the word out that we're very, very different than any other beach town in the state of California. Nobody brings their motorcycle with them when they go to the beach, in any other beach except for here. So the needs are very different. I have some bad news to report, though, is that the beaver down on the creek has lost his mind. And it's now a village of beavers. And Matt and I did a field trip, and structurally, he's built it so you can walk across the creek and not get wet. And there's a wall about 5 feet of water on one side. And we had the kids out there, and it's now in competition with the levee. So it's almost like Lopez Dam Jr. You know, I can't. So if you get a chance, it's real important that these structures be taken care of, and there is a lot of debris. I mean, that's a busy little village down there, you know. But that debris has to go somewhere, and it's going to dump in our ocean. If it was to ever break through, and it won't break through by Mother Nature. It's got to be in other ways. So I think we need to take that up with the zone. Maybe they could possibly find some we need some dump trucks, to be honest with you. Some big dump trucks to move some branches that have just already been cut down and get them out of there, because we're going to pay for it.
They've been chewed down.
Yeah, I've never seen so many toothpicks in my life. And
Mary, I have a question. Has anyone contacted the Beaver Patrol to see if there's anything they can do about the situation?
The Beaver Patrol?
Yes.
We have been contacted.
Okay.
Yeah. They're going to move probably very soon this weekend, I heard.
Director White?
Well, to add to that, There's another issue that I heard at the Zone 3 tech meeting. There's a bunch of small steelhead behind that beaver dam. And they found steelhead in several places, but they do not conceive of any way that they can make the transition to the ocean to survive. Because they have to transition from being a freshwater fish to a saltwater fish, and they feel that they'll probably just die there, which is breaking my heart personally. But that ties into that, unless somebody knows how to. I mean, you can't just pick them up by the bucket and throw them in the other side. Well, the dam stopped the steelhead because there's no fish ladder. The fish spawn in Routson Park where the dam is. I was going to say one thing about the fire thing that cheers my heart. I'm a sweet little old lady, and I can remember waiting for fire trucks to get to our area because a fire truck had to come from San Luis Obispo. That was before the Oceana Fire Department was established. And houses just burned down because there was no fire. There was a truck in Arroyo. There was a truck in Santa Maria. There was a truck in Pismo. But it's come so far in my lifetime that I'm just overwhelmed by how wonderful it's become. And I just want to push to get it better. So, and I did write a little report on my tech committee meeting. If you want to just read it, I don't know.
Go ahead, Karen.
Yeah. You want me to read the whole thing?
It's your report.
Oh. Well, I think the big thing is there's a great debate. The tech committee has received some memorandum from one of the studying groups, and they're trying to figure out if the attempt to raise the level of, well, I guess it's probably easier to read this. The tech committee received a memorandum for H.T. Harvey and Associates on effects of the spillway rise plan at Lopez Dam on the Arroyo Grande Creek Habitation Conservation Plan. Arroyo Grande San Luis Obispo has an option of including or not including the potential spillway rise project study with the Habitat Conservation Plan study. Now, Oceano has opted out of that planning for that inflatable barrier to raise the spillway to conserve more water. But there is all kinds of challenges in connection with raising this dam that were kind of unforeseen that possibly could double the cost of water if it goes ahead, and they include upstream flooding. If you raise the level of the lake even a little bit, you get more upstream flooding, and there's environmental and archaeological challenges because there's Indian burials and that kind of stuff that would be flooded. And when the dam was built, that was not considered, and now it is very much considered. And then there's also a study coming on water availability. I never could find out who is doing that study. That also will add information on that. Do you know who's doing that?
Well, H.T. Harvey is the one that's consulting on the HCP,
yeah,
which is the Habitat Conservation Plan. But
yeah,
it's Stetson Engineering that did the report on
the rubber
increase to the dam, which you're absolutely correct. Oceano is not part of that. We would not get any benefit from it. It's basically Roy Grande, Pismo, and Grover Gorge.
Yeah. But the question is, if they tie the inflatable spillway project with the habitat project, they can either tie them together or not tie them together. But if they don't tie them together, there's a possibility that the Habitat Conservation Plan could have to be redone, and that's more expense. And so the county's going to have to consider what they're going to do.
Karen?
And, yes?
They've been working on that NIMS study for, I don't know, six years now or something like that. So for them to go back and do that would be so damaging, I can't tell you how much.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad that they would even consider that. They have Are they thinking about Plan B or C?
Yeah, or about a study that the Board of Supervisors were not happy with. I wonder how much revenue is going for studies and how much is not going for completing the work after the studies are done.
The big issue with the HCP is that it has to be done because it's been federally mandated. Mm-hmm. And the issue that you talked about with the steelhead and the fish that are in that creek, we have to, Zone 3 has to accommodate all those environmental concerns on those issues. And this process, from an outsider looking in, you're just going, why? But the reason is, if you remember when we had the issues with the flooding, you have to get permission from 12 separate environmental agencies, and they have to structure this, and you have to be, each one has its own idiosyncrasies, so if you structure your report a certain way, this group may not like it and that type of thing. So Mark Hutchinson, who I think is a very good analyst, is working his tail off trying to do that, and he's also trying to put us in the best position that we could be. With respect to the creek, I mean, that's our downstream deal from one of our water supplies, and oh, by the way, state water comes through the same pipeline through there, so it's for our two supplemental water supplies, we have to participate in that. We have to make sure that everything's right because we don't need an environmental agency shutting our water supplies down because we did something not to their standards.
Well,
and oh, by the way, the standards keep changing.
That area has always had difficulties getting permits and foreseeing what Mother Nature is got in store for us in that year. But organizationally, I have to say is that I kind of feel like the lip, right? When that was first presented, right, the spill lip, it was kind of built on the basis of if we spill one drop of water, we lose all of our surplus water. Therefore, we'll spend this money to build this lip up. And that was kind of, you know, the underlying argument for this this lip or whatever spillway they call it. Right. And not taking into the whole picture. But that's not the weather patterns now. Is it even needed? You know, is there any risk of one drop of water going over, you know, and is that spending our money wisely, to be honest with you? So, Oceano, I remember we did vote, the board did vote. I don't make any definite statements, but there was a discussion and possibly a vote that we opted out very clearly from participating in that lip. You know, because we weren't getting any, we didn't want to hear the lip. So, but now that there's not a risk of anything spilling over organizationally, they have to shift. And I'm not quite, you know, I think Lori and Karen and I are moving them along and helping them, you know, but the next, you know, year will be very telling, I think. For Lopez Dam and all its glory it brings.
And the downstream people.
Oh, right. And the walking fish. You know, they jump out and they walk down to the next pool of water.
And the tidewater gobies.
That's right.
Tom. And the one red-legged frog.
There is one?
He must be in heat. That's what frogs do when they go into heat.
And they're trying to confirm the gator. Was it an alligator or a crocodile? They were trying to confirm that there is a gator
in the creek.
In the Oceana Lagoon.
Yeah, in the lagoon.
Is there really? Or is there suspicion of that?
They think somebody let it go.
Oh. Really?
Yeah. But there are, I actually
have seen
several large turtles at the lagoon. You know, that's wonderful. They're big, nice turtles. Thought he was a duck, though.
All I ever see is mosquitoes everywhere. It's horrible.
You have the most beautiful front yard, okay?
Yeah. And poison oak.
Tom, is there public comment for item 7 that you have there?
Yes, there is. Carol Henson.
Carol?
Comments?
Yeah.
And Matt Guerrero made his report regarding his work over there and going over into the yard, and I wanted to speak about that and say that I'm very happy to hear the district is addressing ongoing maintenance and preventative maintenance, which I don't think has been done for a long time. And that's very, very important for us as far as maintaining our infrastructure. Yes. And I wanted to address Tom Gieselin's little aside in that it's very true that I have enjoyed talking with Tom, and he's very forthcoming and good to get back when I have questions, and I understand that there are other people that are just as happy with him that way. However, I do think, and I'd like to put that forward to Tom, is that even though there are times that we can call up and talk about things and he explains it to us, sometimes it's good to have public comment, because in public comment we're televised, and there are so many people in our community that don't come to the meetings, however do watch television and are very interested in what's going on in our district. So sometimes the things that we have to talk about that aren't really discussed in detail before the board, that's why we have the public comment, to come up and be able to talk about it so that the public's questions can be answered, hopefully, by people that do come before the board. And then I just wanted to speak again regarding Tom's comments that he made regarding people that
Carol,
are...
Carol, it really has to be agenda items. You can, the general public comment can be at the end.
I'm not understanding.
I have not the agenda.
All right. Well, I'm speaking about Tom Gieselin's report regarding his report before the Board of Supervisors. And I believe he wasn't agendized for that. I believe that he just spoke out of...
That was a public comment for the end of the meeting.
Thank you, then. Thank you for getting me straight. Thank you very much for all the work you're doing.
Thank you, Carol.
Appreciate
that.
Thank you. Manager Gieselin, is there anybody else that put in a slip?
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards, and I did want to speak to the reports that were provided. And I take them in the kind of reverse order, the latest first. And the comment about the HCP at Lopez, I have considerable experience with habitat conservation plans, and I've also sat in on a number of Zone 3 meetings. And the first thing I'd like you to know is, this HCP was not federally mandated.
Jeff, this is public comment for general public comment.
And I'm speaking about reports right now.
And it's after the report. So this public comment period is for specifically agendized items. You can speak at the end of the meeting.
I think the Habitat Conservation Plan is something...
Hold on, Jeff, give me a second. You can stop the time. The item 7, it says public comment limited to specific agenda items. We have a general public comment on number 13, which is any item of district business.
Mr. President, I'm making comment on reports, but the sheriff wasn't here, but the Five Cities Fire Authority, your OSCSD operations, and your board of directors' comments have just been made, and it's item 6, and I'd like to remark on those.
As to specific agenda items, it's before or during, not after, so it is item 13 speaking to.
Public comment was not called before the reports, so I'm making it now.
Public comment was item number 4.
There's public comment on reports. And that was not taken. So I'm providing you with my public comments on item number 6.
That's right. At number 13.
That's at number 13.
I disagree.
Thank you.
And returning to my comments.
No, I'm going to take
a
break.
HCP.
5-minute break.
Thank you.
8:45. Come back at 8.
Yeah. So I can leave?
Only if they're as to item 7.
I am going to speak about the reports. That's my intention. That's what I just heard about. I have some comments that are germane to that. I'd like to make them.
That would be at number 13.
I'm going to make my comments now. I shouldn't have to wait to number 13. Is there a crowd here? What's the problem?
Are you special?
No, but there's no reason to wait. There's no, it doesn't
accommodate.
First of all, any policies, they haven't been effectuated yet. You haven't taken action. So how can you implement something you haven't taken action on?
That's why you should stay in there.
This is the way I intend to do it. It'd be to have it at 13.
Matt, you can't change it without changing the policies and procedures. That's later on the agenda.
This is the way the agenda is written. This is the way the agenda is written.
But it hasn't been changed yet. You haven't taken action to change the meeting.
It was approved last time.
You had to bring the bylaws back and
I'm not having this. Can you call Detective Twisselman? Can you call Eric Twisselman back?
There's bylaws on the agenda.
Six or?
I think there's 7.
I bet you we'll get a notice.
Yeah, 7.
Okay. We're on, sir.
Thank you. Call the meeting back to order. It's 8:04 p.m., almost 8:05, Oceana Community Services District. We are still in public comment. Item number 7, public comment limited to specific agenda items. Those are outlined in items number 8. Thank you. Ms. Tacker.
I would like to speak to item 8D, the resolution of the Board of Directors of Oceana Community Services District adopting the district's policies and procedures manual approved by the Board of Directors on June 13th. The minutes of June 13th say the Board unanimously decided to table the item until the June 27th Board of Directors meeting. So the June 13th date is incorrect. It's incorrect on your agenda. It's incorrect on your resolution. I'd also like to speak to agenda item 8E, the resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceana Community Services District adopting meeting policies and procedures approved by the Board of Directors on June 27th. The minutes from June 27th say the Board unanimously decided to table the item until the bylaws have been completed. Your bylaws are being revisited tonight. You have not approved the meeting policy changes. You intend to do that somehow tonight. It's not specific. You have a resolution that doesn't meet the timeline that happened in real life. Within the meeting policies, and I think you see the frustration with them in the two speakers before me, Mr. Edwards would like to speak to the reports that were before item 7. Ms. Henson also would like to follow the board's reports. Without having to wait through the other agenda items to then address the reports later on. And I think if you do look at other municipalities, other boards, you will find that speaking in response to the reports is quite common at the time of the reports. I also believe that the changes in your meeting policies were brought on as a form of discrimination to the outsiders and liars who attend these meetings. You're by forcing people to stay to the end of the meeting, you are contradicting yourself. If you want the people to leave, let them speak and go. Instead, if they have something to say, you are now forcing them to stay till the end of the meeting, where then it is likely they will have more to say on more items, public hearings, etc. So I think you're contradicting the very goal that you're trying to accomplish. I wasn't going to speak to either item 8D or E, because I only wanted to speak to the reports. But since I'm not allowed to, stay till the end of the meeting. I may not.
Is there any other public comment? All right. Moving on to item 8A, rescission of July 25th, 2012, board approval of amended bylaws for further discussion regarding director compensation. Again, we were taking public comment after the staff report. Molly?
think that the Mr. Martin's staff report is pretty clear, but I did want to comment. It was an oversight, pure and simple. And however, in response, I heard a couple of directors say that they felt funny.
Excuse me, I can't. There's some.
It's confusing to your agenda.
Can you guys keep it down in there? It's staff comment.
So, I heard a couple of board members say that they felt funny about it, and my experience in the world has been if you feel funny about something, there's probably a reason. There might well be a rule. So immediately went back and asked Chase to review. And that was in the works, and Kathy Young verified, you know, what we were doing. And subsequently, we got I got a personal email. I was CC'd on a personal email from a member of the public who is not an Oceano resident and has no connection to Oceano, no discernible interest in the OCSD, mentioning it. And subsequently, and actually in that email, it mentioned that Mr. Geisland infers that this person is not always honest. So I'm going to be really straight about this, because a few days after receipt of that email, a thing appeared on the internet stating, does also include the additional compensation for committees, I think?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You can do whichever you want, but if you do want to increase the director compensation for meetings, you do have to do it by ordinance and public hearing after notification.
Right. And I don't think that $25 was put in maliciously. I mean,
clearly not.
Because, you know, when I started coming to board meetings, it was $600, and that included, you know, and that was when, you know, I participated from the audience level. You had subcommittees that you were compensated for, and then the two general meetings per month was compensation, and you could not exceed $600.
And you still cannot exceed $600.
And we still cannot exceed $600. And what we did, because of the money being tight as directors, we agreed to not be compensated for the subcommittee work that we do, like the JPA, the Zone 3, the RAC meetings, the tech meetings, all the subcommittees that we attend, except for, you know, the one sanitation district, and that comes from their budget. And so it comes to each director, we make we have two big meetings a month, so it's really about $200 a month compensation versus the $600 that it used to be. So I'm really sorry that if anybody was upset that they thought that $25 was going to make a difference, you know. We do apologize, but we've tried to compensate by going from $600 each director per month to $200, and that occurred over 3 years ago.
And I think the $25 was put in kind of at the last minute.
Cost
as a result
of living.
Of Templeton, I think it's $150 or something, and it was just kind of a last minute suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mistake. My fault. I take full responsibility. Shouldn't sign off on things. On
harm
vacation.
No foul.
I had asked about it, but I only asked about it in a general way. I wasn't concerned one way or the other about the amount. I just wondered if we could legally hike our own pay.
And you were correct. And a couple of other directors voiced it, the same concern.
Yeah.
So generally, if you have that feeling, there's a reason. And that's why we went back and looked it up. And Kathy Young verified it. So we set about changing it, and we can change it, or we can go back to the 100.
What's sad is that it gets so twisted around. You know, instead of saying this was an error, we'll rectify it before it's, you know, implemented. Right? It was caught before it was implemented.
Well, Kathy Young approached it very positively. Yes, pointed it out in a very positive manner.
And then, like you said, you know, people from other areas come and cause chaos. You know, for the, you know,
mistake.
It was just sad that it was turned into something that wasn't necessary.
Well, first, it was a personal email to Chase on which I was copied, which is kind of odd. And secondly, included some jabs, as always, at Mr. Gieselin.
Yeah,
you know, unnecessary.
Of course.
And third, was somehow reported to this internet blog thing, and as if as fact.
Yeah.
And it was simply, it's a bald-faced lie. That's all I can, that's the only way to put it.
And you know what I've had to do is, you know what, I'm not going on the internet and seeing that stuff anymore, because it started to interfere with me being a good sound director, listening to the chatter, you know. And because it was inaccurate, it wasn't, a lot of it wasn't factual, and I said, wait a minute, this is interfering on how you are as a director, and so I've had to back off and not, I don't read that stuff.
Well, I didn't read the rest of it, I just read that Julie Tacker had instigated the thing, which is not true, and that it was illegal, which was not true, and beyond that, I didn't read it, so. But, so you guys need to decide, I think we've included bylaws with the $100 director compensation plus whatever it was for the meetings. That was the only change from the 125. I guess the procedure would be to rescind the approval of the bylaws, discuss whether to approve these amended bylaws, and move on from there.
Okay.
Is there any other board questions? We do have public comment scheduled after this. Is there any public comment on item 8A?
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening. My name is Jeff Edwards. It's pretty clear that you wouldn't even be discussing this item. It wouldn't be on your agenda. You would not be taking board time if it wasn't for the bad legal advice you got from Molly Thurman. It's virtually common knowledge that 100%
stop the meeting. I don't want to hear this.
This is my public comment. I can say what I want about your legal counsel, Mr. President.
It's not if you're libeling somebody.
I'm not going to be constricted.
That's
not the board's concern.
In item 13, you can. At this time, it's specific agenda items.
And
the specific agenda items.
The bad legal advice you got. And, you know, I'm not sugarcoating it either. Thank you.
Be adjourned again. Thank you very much. 8:23. I'm there.
Yeah.
All right.
I've been doing yoga all weekend long.
Let's call the meeting back into session. It is 8:23 p.m. All board members are present. District Legal Counsel General Manager Gieselin is present. We're still on item 7. Is there any more public comment? I believe Carol Henson had public comment as to, or excuse me, item 8A. Excuse me, I've said the wrong item. Item 8A. I believe Carol Henson had public comment as to this item.
I think I've lost my train of thought,
really.
I'm sorry, I
didn't
have something I wanted to say.
Well, then let's try to call it again or something.
Okay, thanks, Carol.
Because I honestly don't remember. Someone made comment about, I think this has to do with it in some obscure way. Excuse me for not being so clear. However, what I wanted to say was Director Mary Lucy was talking about the misinformation about something. And it was very interesting. And however, somehow or another, that triggered in my mind, and again, if I'm off subject, I'll be glad to sit down, about we were misinformed about the financial status of the district. And based on that misinformation, that was when the directors of the board decided to forfeit their stipend for the special meetings. And we did that in the interest of the district to try to save money based on the misinformation we had. And since that time, Tom Gieselin has told us a lot of things and has found a lot of money in, you know, helping us get our financial status back in order, and the district is moving forward, and I think a lot of good things are happening. However, I do have a question. Based on the misinformation that the directors and the community was given by the then manager, Mr. Monteburo, regarding we were in a desperate financial strait nearing almost bankruptcy, we therefore did a 218 based on finances to increase the water rates. And I have...
Okay, that is an item 13.
I thought so.
Thank you, Carol.
Good try, though.
Seeing nobody else, any other public comment? All right. I'll entertain a motion then for the rescission of the July 25th, 2012 Board Approval of Amended Bylaws.
I'll second.
The motion.
Oh.
He was entertaining
the motion.
I'm sorry.
Entertain a motion
I thought
to that
you were
effect.
Making the motion.
Which resolution? 11, 12, or 13?
This is 8A.
Okay, got it. July 25th. I just want to make sure my dates are right.
Oh. I'm like totally in focus.
July 27th.
I'm going to attempt this.
Okay.
I move that we rescind the board's decision to amend the bylaws at the July 25th meeting. Regarding director compensation. I move that we rescind the newly adopted bylaws.
They were adopted on
July 25th.
I second.
All right. I have a motion and a second. Caroline, can I get a roll call vote, please?
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Move on to item 8B, discussion and possible approval of amended bylaws, which were attached to the packet. Staff report already happened.
Does anybody have any questions?
These are in some substance the same as what we approved at the last meeting. However, the director compensation has changed to $100. That's under Section 8. Changed back, I should say.
So do we make the motion as 2012-11, August 8th?
Look, can we amend this resolution to clean it up?
Do you want to...
Just take off the July 25th, since you've now received...
You approve...
Yeah.
So we're moving to approve these.
Oh, that's okay. I know what we're doing, so that's okay.
But is there any other changes that need to be made, Molly?
No.
Okay.
It is 11,
so it would be as amended.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other board discussion? Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we approve resolution number 2012-11, whereas on August 8, 2012, the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Service District reviewed and approved the proposed changes in the existing board bylaws.
I'd like to do the attached.
Okay.
As amended.
As amended.
Okay.
Right. On the record.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, I have a motion and a second. Carol Ann, if I can have a roll call.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Motion carries by a vote of 5-0. Moving on to item number 8C, resolution. Go ahead.
Molly and Kathy and everybody, thank you for catching that.
Thank you.
Okay, actually, we're now in D.
We're only human.
Item 8C, resolution number 2012-11, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Services District adopting the amended bylaws approved by the Board of Directors. Okay, we just did that, didn't we?
Just did that.
Okay. Moving on to item number 8D, resolution 2012-12, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Services District adopting the District Policies and Procedures Manual approved by the Board of Directors on June 13th, 2012.
Can I comment on that?
Yes.
It might have been. I actually think it was the 13th. But I don't have the benefit of the record in front of me. Either way, this is an extra step. The in Going through the OCSD records, it's difficult to tell exactly what is in place and what is not. And since we've often talked about codification, if we have resolutions for things, we have specific dates and there's a resolution, it will be easy to codify things if and when that ever comes about. And in the meantime, it will be more clear what is in effect and the effective date. So the date it was approved is not critical. The date that they are adopted, it's like a second step. You don't really need the approval. You don't really need the adoption. You need one or the other. So if we adopt them today, we can again change the resolution and just make it adopted today.
So the June 13th date
stays.
It says the effective date would be June 13th.
I have June 13th.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I thought it was.
We had a public hearing at 6.
Spell your mic.
We had a public hearing that day, budget hearing meeting, and we also did the bylaws.
That's what I thought, that we'd actually voted and approved them. So.
Yes.
Okay. I think we actually... go ahead.
I don't think... Because I questioned it later. I wasn't on the board yet, but I was at the meeting. And I thought they were approved. They were read, but there was had to be one more step to approve them.
They were approved, but okay, and that might be. I didn't listen to it. If I had known it was an issue, I would have gone back and listened to it. But we can take care of it. And I know that there was a process because in revising all these things, contradictions developed. Mm-hmm. Between what was in place and what we were changing and how we separated them. So this step was always going to be the last step. And I didn't want to do all three of them in one meeting because we'd be here till 5 in the morning and it would probably create more contradictions and changing them around. So I thought if we did one at a time and then brought them together with a resolution, we could get it all done on one, finalized on one day, which is today. So we can take out the approval date if there is a question and make them effective today?
I think we should.
Okay, that's easy to do.
So it would be to take out the June 13th, 2012? Or
so
take out the whole?
So we have to resend this packet. We'd have to resend. No, we don't have to.
No.
We just make an amendment to the current existing.
You can just adopt them.
We adopt them today.
So the effective date really isn't.
We can change the effective date. And they were, I think they are written such that they can be modified, individual ones can be modified without going back to the whole thing. So we can change the effective date.
Great.
So the effective date would be the date that they're adopted.
It's all the only change on the resolution.
Okay.
That would make it 8-8. So just remember 8-8. Too bad it's not 08, but... It's the 8th month.
If there's no further questions,
I'll
entertain a motion.
Okay, I'll give it a try. I make a motion. We adopt resolution number 2012-12, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceana Community Service District adopting the District Policies and Procedures Manual approved by the Board of Directors on August 8th, 2012.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Carol Ann, can I have a roll call vote, please?
Director White?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
May I ask a question?
Yes.
We are making a resolution to approve. Shouldn't that be to adopt?
Yes, it should. Very good ear. I'm sorry.
I didn't catch it. It is adopt.
Adopt the
so process. Quick.
All right, so I need to ask you procedurally then, Molly, how do we...
Did the same thing except for use adopt.
Can we redo the motion? It was not...
Okay.
Yes, I'll redo the motion. I make a motion we... We adopt resolution number 2012-12.
Second.
All right, let's try this again. Carol Ann.
Director White?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. Motion carries 5-0. Moving on to item number 8E, resolution number 2012-13, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Services District adopting the meetings policies and procedures approved by the Board of Directors on June 27th, 2012.
Okay, let's do the same thing. Let's take out June 27th.
Okay.
Change it to August 8th, and that's twice. And I don't see any other changes.
I don't either.
Now, Molly, I just have a quick question on this one. If under special circumstances or something like that, there is a way that we could be able to discuss that beyond the 6 minute.
Yes, as long as it's before the first public comment, in order to be fair.
Uh-huh.
Like if you see if there's the room is full of people, or you have a really long agenda, or you have a particular item, mm-hmm. like the water sale, that you
right.
know, where everybody wanted to talk about it. So as long as it's done and it's
before the beginning of the meeting,
public comment by motion and vote.
Okay.
That you can.
Okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure that we have that flexibility.
Yes.
That's great.
Okay.
Where does it say that?
You're looking for that?
Yes.
Karen?
Well, there's special meetings.
Special meetings?
It's on page, it's under oral comments, the fourth full paragraph.
Oh, here it is.
Where it says members
Thank
of the
you.
Public. There you go.
I think we're in the middle of a roll call vote, aren't we?
No, we haven't had a motion.
No, there's no motion yet.
Oh, okay. Oh, there it is.
Should we call for a motion?
Yes. Unless there's other board discussion.
Oh, I thought maybe you were still looking for
No. I've already read it, so I was just waiting to see if anybody else had any other questions.
Okay, I'll give it a shot, I guess.
Right.
Oceano Community Service District, resolution number 2012-13, resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Services District adopting the meeting policies and procedures approved by the Board of Directors on August 8th, 2012.
Second.
Is that good enough, or do you need to go as the whereas?
No.
Okay.
I have a motion and a second. Caroline, can we have a roll call vote?
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Motion to Angelo. Your name's on. It appears to be alphabetical.
6A?
Yeah. No, we're on board member comments, but we appear to be alphabetical, so.
Oh, okay. It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's true.
I'm lost.
Are we going to just the comments? Is that what this is?
Yeah, board member comments, if you have any.
You can pass.
Okay, good. I was going to say, I don't really have a comment that I can comment on.
Stop. I think I'd like to say that I think if we take care of the little details, we don't have to worry about the big ones. And yeah, this may be boring and not very sexy to some people, but getting bylaws and policies and things established so we have a framework to work from is just as essential as any of the other things that others may want on the agenda. And as we get these things in order, we can definitely take care of the other things that we know we have to do and be in a better position to make educated and well-rounded, sounded decisions on them.
I think my comment would be that tonight is what a difference a year makes from where we were a year ago. I think Tom's been with us, what, about 13 months? And the unknowing, difficult situation that I stepped into in January of last year and where we are now, it's most nights a pleasure to be here, and it's an organization that I'm proud to be part of.
And I would like to say one other thing. On the 27th of August, Julie Andrews, great name, Julie Andrews Scott, she is the individual that organized the Avila Beach Farmers Market, and she also has put together the concert in the park in Ramona Gardens for Grover Beach. We'll be speaking at our Oceano Advisory Committee meeting. She's really motivated, highly motivated, in wanting to get something done here in Oceano in regards to a farmer's market. I spoke to her on the phone yesterday, and she is committed to come to the meeting and share all of her knowledge and to just explain to us and assist us where she can in what we need to do to get this off the ground. And it will be here. And at our OAC meetings are here at 4 p.m.
Excellent. And I got contacted. There's going to be a dunes cleanup on, I think it's September 15th. Tom, were you contacted by Clint about this? Clint Weirich?
I didn't get the notice on it. I think it just went directly to you. Since you've been spending all that time in the field, I think they're going to get really cheap labor out of it.
It's free so far. But September 15th, there's going to be a dude cleanup. I'll get some more information out about that. So I'd like everybody.
Sponsoring it?
Do you know? Oh, I do know, and I just for some reason I can't think of it. Thanks for asking.
I know Kevin P. used to do it.
Is he doing one?
Yeah, he usually does one annually.
It's separate. I don't know if it's okay. Kevin P. Rice has said he's separate. I don't think so because Clint was. It was. I'm sorry, I forgot who it was through.
Okay.
I apologize.
No, that's, yeah. Okay.
I did sign up for it, but I didn't print it out yet. So.
You also all have received invitations for the New Tech High.
Yes.
Grand opening tomorrow.
Yes.
At
yes.
High School. So.
And this Friday, the grand opening for the new Tech High?
It's tomorrow.
Also on Friday, the Children's Resource Network, run by Lisa Ray, will be in Oceano at the Boys and Girls Club, outfitting the children for school, which starts next Thursday.
Oh, my gosh.
There was the grand opening ceremony. Tom made it. I unfortunately missed it last Friday at the Home Depot? Where was the grand opening ceremony?
In front of the Home Depot in San Luis Obispo, and it was pretty impressive. They received a check from the Central Coast Wine
Drinkers.
I forgot the name, the head of it, but they gave him a check for $100,000.
Wow. That's wonderful.
And I apologize for not having the last word, but wow. Central Coast Wine originally started several years ago to make the world aware of our wine in our restaurants in San Luis Obispo. And they hold annual fundraisers, and they've given out several millions of dollars to the community. So they gave $100,000, and then PG&E gave them $25,000 plus a brand new truck to move the trailer that was, I believe, donated by, I forget what the number was, and then some guy tapped her on the shoulder and said, I can give you computers, and they ended up donating several. So, I mean, it was a very, very nice thing, and just another example of somebody from the Central Coast stepping up and making something happen.
And her program started here in Oceana.
And it started.
This is where it started.
You've allowed them to wash clothes in your laundry room.
Well, they have an open invitation to come and wash clothes, and I've done some loads for them. But the I'd like to invite her to come down and do a presentation.
We've had two requests. One is to have Mark Hutchinson come down and talk about the HCP, and I think it would be really good to have Lisa come and make a presentation.
She's a growing good asset for our community and a growing presence. And
great.
And the Latino outreach of San Luis County is also backing them 100% too.
Great.
It's pretty amazing little thing.
I did go to the Latino Outreach Committee meeting last month, too. So.
Great.
Director Lucy or Vice President Lucy?
I don't have much to say except for I feel so fortunate to live in this little town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was raised in a little town up in the hills of Washington State, and to find another little town that gave me that sense of comfort, you know, and to be able to participate in helping to the town to still grow. So on that note, have a great summer. You know.
Director White?
Two things. I want to thank Tom for going after some of that off-road money.
Mm-hmm. Kudos to you.
And the other thing is the calendars have the Oceana Advisory Committee meetings on the wrong day. They're the 4th.
Yeah, we changed.
You have them the 3rd.
Yeah, we changed.
You have them at 3rd at 3 o'clock, but they're the 4th at 4 o'clock, and I don't think anybody told this agency.
When are they?
They're the 4th Monday at 4 p.m. here.
So
and that's a very recent change.
So it'll be the August 27th at 4 o'clock,
yes.
Oceano Advisory?
Yes.
Yeah, that's such an important committee for this area. I mean, that's really where a lot of the brainstorming mm-hmm. and the dreams come true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I firmly believe that when I first came to town, I went to the Oceano Advisory Committee, you know, and then the OAC grew out of
mm-hmm.
that and others. So if you want to be involved, that definitely is a great, great venue to do it in.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we can get enough interest in, and I think we will, because the last revitalization meeting that we had, it was standing room only, and I'm going to be working on inviting those individuals to that meeting. And most of the people who attended the revitalization meetings were very, they'd like to see something like a farmer's market here.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm thinking that from the meeting on the 27th and hearing what Julie has to say, we can formulate a committee through the advisory to start, you know, marking out in our progress. You know, we could start with the farmer's market and see what that's going to take, but build our momentum towards the goals that we set during the meetings that we had for revitalization.
Mm-hmm.
That is my goal, and I hope that we can do that, because there's a lot of interest and people want to do things with us and for us now, and you know, we're just in a great place.
We're in
a good, really good space.
Yeah.
And one last thing, and I will be quiet. And seriously, thank you so much, Molly. You do a good job.
You really
do. You do a good job. No, it's
no,
the truth,
you
though.
Do.
You know, thank you very much. And I was told a lot, you know, no one's paid to take abuse.
Nope.
No one's paid to take abuse. And you do a very good job.
And Molly, having survived through past legal counsel, I so appreciate you. I so appreciate your honesty. And you know, we're all human, and if you were perfect, I'd look at you with a suspicious eye.
Thank you.
Is that why you look at me so suspiciously?
Yeah.
Just kidding. Go ahead, Karen.
One more quick thing. The Oceano roundabout, I'm giving it to Oceano,
oh, yes. Right.
At Halcyon Road, or the Oceano double roundabout at Halcyon Road and Highway 1 is going forward.
Can we get a presentation on that, do you think?
The written stuff that I received that pertains, I've got written correspondence and then a couple phone calls on Caltrans and PG&E replacing mm-hmm. 3 streetlights in Oceano at 3 different locations. and we are proceeding with that. I answered all the permit questions, and it looks like they're going to take care of it sometime between September and October. They're just trying to fine-tune it. The gentleman for PG&E also gave me the... I don't know if you've been down North Swing. Our lights have been vandalized, and these are a little bit higher, but it's still the acorn shape, and the pole is significantly more narrow. And we are going to look at incorporating those and maybe moving the old-fashioned ones down on putting them down on pier. And so, but he's been ecstatic that we're able to get this done. Our encroachment permit, we pay an annual encroachment permit, and that's already paid. So we don't. I don't believe we have any permitting issues, but I'm going to verify with planning just one more time. And then we've got a thing about PERS in the mail today, where apparently, and I'm just totally flabbergasted by this, but apparently PERS has identified that in both their annuitants and their employees that they have several non-qualified people listed as dependents, and they've narrowed it down that it costs anywhere between $24 and $40 million to support this. And so their correction is that it's put back on the PERS, and we do PERS medical here as well as PERS retirement, us to identify and requalify, which I'm scratching my head, because every insurance policy I ever went through, they ran you through the gamut to decide if they were going to pay you or not. But it came through on PERS today, and I find it somewhat coincidental that you had the state parks money showing up, and then a week later now you've got PERS money being identified. So I wonder what's next. So that's the only
that is the $17 billion question right now, is what other money has been sacked.
Shake it again, shake the tree harder.
Right. Well, hold on to that moment, because we're feeling the governor's office moving. We won't feel it a lot in our lifetime, but once in a while we'll feel it move.
Wow. So that's all I've received.
All right, number 12, future agenda items. Is there anything anybody would like to add to the agenda?
Gee, we did so much tonight.
I know. This was supposed to be a quick meeting, remember? Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there something important? Was it this meeting we were going to skip, or the next meeting? Was it this meeting?
Every meeting is important.
Yes, sir, I understand that.
And we try and get something done every single
right.
meeting. Sometimes three or four things. One thing that I would like to add is that we haven't closed the books on our previous fiscal year, but I do have a fourth quarter budget review that I need to give to you guys.
Okay.
What we've done, I can give you that point. So I'd like to put that on the agenda. I'm not sure if I want to do it this next one, because I believe Director Lucy's gone. Are you gone this meeting? Next meeting?
I won't be available after the 17th.
Of August, right?
Correct.
Okay, so next one's the 22nd.
I'll probably move that to when she gets back. But I am going to make a contribution to reserves. And then the other thing I want to do is once we get all the repairs out, I want to sit down and look at the capital improvement thing, because by that time I should have feedback. So I'll bring that back to you guys in September. I'd like the next meeting to be kind of a nice, easy one where we don't have to put up with a lot of this stuff.
That was supposed to be tonight, but...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Can you see?
I don't know.
I can see. Assist if I can't see up close.
Will there be a resolution on the negotiations on the fire issue?
Yeah, but that'll be just a status report.
Okay, thank you.
And then periodically, I'd like to keep talking about... The infrastructure things that we're addressing.
I found a report that was done in 2009 that identified stuff, and The field operators and I are going to have a whiteboard session tomorrow.
Okay.
And we're going to go through and prioritize, and I'll come back.
Carol. Good evening, Carol.
Thank you, board members. I'll try to remember everything. I just wanted to make a comment regarding your resolution tonight, 2012-13. And while I haven't seen it, I think that it has that six-minute frame in there that no one can speak 6 minutes. And as I said, I felt there were different reasons why that may not work. So I was really happy to hear that Mary Lucy wanted to be sure that there was some, you know, there was some flexibility in that and at the board's discretion. And so thank you for that. And I do really, for a person like me, though, it's going to be difficult because I'm used to doing the public comments after the board of directors have their report. And so I'll have to really pay attention to do that because, obviously, earlier when I got up, I had forgotten completely what I wanted to talk about. And maybe that's a good thing. You know. However, I did want to ask a question. I thought that the board of directors, I thought that the board, the district, was in charge of the lights. So when Mr. Giesland said that the Caltrans and that PG&E were going to be doing some lights, I haven't heard anything differently, and I was curious as to know, maybe sometime in a meeting you could explain their role in the lighting, and because I thought that that was our purview.
Streetlights is our purview, but Tom, there was a reason that...
There's a reason.
Yeah, they did some areas analysis on Oceano, and they came up with three areas that they considered a priority to put the lights, and I don't have the number of the places in front of me. The problem we have, we do the lighting, we do maintain them. We are constantly fixing them because, unfortunately, people occasionally mess with them. And like I said, on Northland, all the acorn globes, which are fairly large, have been destroyed. This is coming to us via a Caltrans PG&E grant, so they're installing them for free. And we will then take over the maintenance of them. And
well, that's
then
wonderful that we
the
can
brand
get that service done.
So we can update it. So
well, that's a good
this
point.
Is actually a gift.
Well, great.
Will they match the antique ones we already have?
They will. They're antique in their style.
Correct.
But they are not the cement base that we have. They are metal base. They're narrow. And they are green and they sit higher. But it will still have
the
old-fashioned acorn globe to it.
Oh, and
then you were talking about taking the ones on North Swing and maybe putting them down on Ocean Boulevard so that they would all match down there and be more
correct. And then put these new
aesthetically
ones in because they're more difficult to deal with. I'm going to give you a classic example. If you remember when the Mission bells came up on the freeway and they first came out, they were like 6 feet high, and then you'd go by and there'd be a post. And now they've elevated them to where they're very difficult to reach. And there's Mission bells all over
so people are
in Real. So this is a similar similar setup.
Thank you for answering that for me. And then briefly, I don't want to run out of my 6 minutes, and it's hard for me to be brief.
No, you can keep going.
On your key financial points, you were on your report. I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong page. You were basically talking about general administration key points. And on the key points here, you discuss GM prepared for a grant identification and application process. Funds will be used to update water and sewer distribution system. I thought the sewer distribution system belonged to the Sand District, and that was part of that.
No, we are responsible for for all the laterals and main lines that go through the city's Oceano. Once it feeds into the trunk, which we have a trunk line that goes through, then we share responsibility with the Sand District on that. And we actually have a very good working relationship that's come into play over this past year or so with both the sanitation employees and the field employees.
Oh, that's
and
excellent.
We also have a very good relationship with Arroyo Grande, and you weren't at the meeting, but on July 3rd, and I already talked about this, we had a very critical thing with our lift station. I mean, pick the day to go out, right? And Arroy Grandy was right there by our side helping us get through a very difficult situation.
The one that's been a problem.
Yeah, it's you made a comment earlier that there's been a lot of PM that hadn't been done.
And lastly, I know I probably had a lot of things, but I know I won't make the time thing. So I just feel like that time thing for people like me and other people who have a hard time getting their thought process together. If I come up here, I forget by the time I get practice. And once we get a procedure in place and everybody becomes familiar with it, then they'll know what's coming and we can do it. And if we keep up and do the same thing and it doesn't change every 6 months or every year, then people get used to it and it'll flow.
And hopefully it'll calm down too, because where it becomes, you know, back to a better environment.
The other option that you do have, and it is that you can request a meeting with a board member, you can request a meeting with me, and then we can bring that back and say, we met with Carol Henson on these issues, and this is the action that we've taken.
Well, if they're important enough or somebody, I would appreciate a meeting sometime with a board member, and if it's something that needs to take up board time or meeting time when we have these public meetings, that would be fine. But I want to be very specific if I do want to take up anybody's time like that. However, I do want to, if somebody will allow me just a second, I want to just talk about the 218. And I have issue with the 218. And I believe that the 218 and the water rate increases were done in good faith, in that we were told that the district was bankrupt, and the reasons for the 218 referendum and for doing that to increase the water rates, I feel like now was based on false information, in that we were not in the financial situation that we were told by the general manager that we were in, and that the district wasn't bankrupt. In fact, there was money there, but bills were not being paid, and there was an issue all the way around with the administrative aspect of how the district was working, and the board judiciously took care of that. However, I feel that the reason, as required in the 218 for increasing the water rates, is now faulty, and I would like to revisit that. So what I will do is get out my paperwork on that and read it, and then maybe talk to Tom or something, but I would like to revisit that, because I know I'm being impacted in my little life by the rate increase. So that was, I wanted to thank you for your time.
I'd just like to make a comment too, is that Oceana's infrastructure, you know, as a water purveyor company, we have to maintain our infrastructure. And by not increasing or having those rates, you can look, you know, there's
well,
no
we hadn't had an
over
increase
our engine, so our
in
engine's
years.
Brought out, you know. There isn't a penny that isn't desperately needed in this district. So I think that the 218 was appropriate, what had happened in the past, by not doing increments and
absolutely
hitting people with it real hard, that's where it hurt, right?
Well, there was
that it definitely was, I think it's honest.
Well, it's just the way it was worded, because it's supposed to be worded, and I do believe that there was no infrastructure maintenance and ongoing maintenance, which is what it looks like the district is now addressing, and I'm very pleased about that, and it looks like we're going to be getting some infrastructure work. So that was just a thought, and I thought I'd bring it up. Thank you very
Thanks,
much.
Carol.
Thank you.
We'll go on to back to item 9, closed session, conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation, significant exposure to litigation pursuant to subdivision B of Government Code Section 54956.9, one case arising from Julie Tacker, cure and correct demand, sent by email on July 23, 2012. We'll adjourn into closed session at this time. Thank you. All right, we're back in session from closed session. There is no reportable action. I'll ask Manager Gieslin to write a letter tomorrow to Ms. Tacker, and I'll come in and sign it. We'll send it out. I think that's it. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
I'll second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oh.
We wanted to adjourn in memory of, and Tom, I'd like you to do that since he was...
I request a moment of silence in memory of Coach Neil Reed, Napomo resident, basketball coach and golf coach to several kids throughout the South County and northern Santa Barbara County. So with your hearts, please put them forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Motion to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Tonight it's 9:19 p.m.